So it takes a few videos or audios before I can break it down into a very simple explanation. And the simplest explanation I can explain is that individually, the men or the women have a head and a body. And if you come together in a corporate situation, whether it's a business, a marriage, a church, anything you're doing corporately, there has to be a head and a body. Now, is the head greater than the body? No, because the head, the greatest head leadership out there is servant leadership. Most people don't know what servant leadership even means. If you want somebody to be a head of a body, whether it's a church or a business or whatever, they have to show and exemplify and embody servant leadership. Now, those who come after should be followed. They actually start to follow without even knowing it. I noticed that on a couple jobs where when I started serving and saying thank you and yes, how can I help you and helping people and helping others in their position, they started changing. Now, some people see that as weakness and they try to take advantage, but you set up a boundary and you say, okay, you see the ones that are taking advantage. They don't want to give back. They just want to take. And so you distance yourself from them. But you give them the benefit of the doubt at first, but then you distance. And so a lot of people, if they're not the head of the body, if they're not the lead position, they're jealous. They say, I'm smarter than them. I know more than them. I should be the head of the body. I'm stronger. I'm smarter. I'm wiser. I got more money. I came from privilege. Well, God calls the weak things of the world to confound the wise. A lot of times, hold on a minute. Something had hit my mind and to do something, and I wanted to remember what I was supposed to do. Anyway. Individually, man or woman, corporate body, in a marriage, there's got to be a head, individual, and then a corporate body, the man and the woman. So individually, there's a head and a body, man or woman. Corporately, in a marriage, somebody's got to be the head. And what's the purpose? The purpose is a type and shadow of Christ and his church. Now, Moses lived to, 120 years old, and he had his natural force. So when you embody the truth and you line up with the truth, you submit to the authority. If you are the authority, you become a servant leader like Moses. And as a servant leader, let's say you have a team and you want that team to accomplish something. You have to become a servant leader. If there's one member of the team that's got a broke leg or a broke foot and they're not, sometimes you have to get in and grab their shoulder and carry them to the next level, you know, to the next until they get healed or whatever. And so sometimes even in a marriage or a family, if it's running right, somebody gets hurt or whatever and you pick them up and you carry them, you know. It's all a corporate body any way that you look at it, to be honest with you. It's not about you. It's not about the individual. It's about the corporate body. Whether it's me, whether it's you, if we think, oh, this is all about me, God has to reprimand you and take you out or scourge you or knock you down until you get back up, you know. It's kind of like when you start to think it's all about you, then God turns into the Hulk and just pounds you to the ground till you submit, you know. And it's not that he's doing it to hurt you. He's doing it to help you, you know. Submission to God should be first. And so if it's the woman and she decides to get married, she should understand she's putting herself under the authority of whatever man. And so if she marries some drunk or drug head, she's submitting to that. She becomes a drunk or a drug head. She marries somebody who curses and yells and screams, she's going to curse and yell and scream. And so if you submit to the devil, you're going to be like the devil. If you submit to God, you're going to be changed into the image of God. What you gaze upon, you become. And so what you yoke up with, you become. This is why you can't yoke up with the Jezebel. You can't yoke up with the Delilah. You can't yoke up with the narcissist. You can't yoke up with the psychopath. And if a woman yokes up with a, and she don't know it when she's young, she sees this guy talking a big talk, and he ain't got a lick of sense, but he's talking this big smack because his family bloodline, they got a lot of money, and she sees that. She says, I'm going to marry him because they got a lot of money. She ends up seeing that he's just a weakling because his mom, because he just, the only reason he's able to talk in pride is because his family keeps bailing him out of trouble. And he ain't really nothing. I see a lot of people. They do a lot. They get a nice house. It's all because their mama or their daddy. And if they had to do it on their own, they wouldn't accomplish nothing. They don't strive for truth. They don't strive for independence. They don't strive for anything. Just that outward show. Look at me. It's like keeping up with the Joneses, you know. Now, some of them sacrifice because they have to, but deep down, they don't. They're like a little child. They don't want to. They hate their boss. They hate the church. They hate their friends. They hate their in-laws. They hate everybody because they just want to. They don't want that responsibility. Well, if you step into it, guess what? There it is. And I understand the flesh mind is nothing but sin. Some women, they just get married for, and they want an easy life. You know that marriage is harder. It's harder to be married than single. Maybe for a woman, it's harder to be single than married. But for the most part, if the man and woman is going to do their role, it's going to be harder. If you marry somebody, you better love them because it's going to get rough. If you take a job or career, if you don't love that career, it's going to get rough. Every day is going to become monotonous. So if you can't love your career, you better go find another one because you're going to be miserable. If you don't love your spouse, you better go find another one because you're going to be miserable. You better not marry that one. If you don't have a vision for life, you better go find one. Because if you don't have a vision that you love for life, you better go find a vision because it's going to get rough down here. Everybody's stocking up here at the grocery store. I'm just going to go get some water. The good thing about fasting, intermittent fasting, If the power does go out and you don't have any food, you've already learned how to fast. You don't even get hungry anymore when you start to fast. Every Friday, I might go eat something right after work. And if I'm really not doing any Uber or anything, I probably don't eat. If I'm studying, researching, then I probably don't eat till 5 o'clock the next day, Saturday. Time is at 1 o'clock. Everybody's going to the grocery store. You're rubbing shoulders with flesh creatures. You're rubbing shoulders with the unsaved. You're rubbing shoulders with the lost. Like somebody told me yesterday, she said, you don't deal with that pettiness. You're rubbing shoulders with these petty creatures that just live in pettiness and delusions. And the flesh mind's nothing but delusion. Think about it. So let's say two people get married who are not saved. They're in delusions. They have no truth. They have no worldview that makes sense. They don't see God. It's all pride and money and sex, drugs, drinking, partying, whatever. They don't see the big picture. And so don't you think that their kids are going to be messed up? And by the grace of God, somebody gets saved. One of those children gets saved. out of that mess, because they want, that's what happened to me. I thought, these people around me, these people are crazy. I knew they were crazy, and I knew there was no truth. And I would be sitting there in the living room on the floor watching Charles Stanley on TV, and I said, y'all got to hear this. My mom and sister walked by and says, why are you watching that? You got to hear this. Why are you even watching that? That really happened. And it happens today. Conversation I had last night. She said, when you brought up, I said, what do you think about progressive revolution? She said, yeah, it's exciting because it's all happening now. Exactly. So Genesis 3 is happening now. And it's just unfolding. It's just revealing itself more and more through the ages. So what happened in Genesis 3 was the seed of revelation. And so we are looking at the birthing pains of the earth going through its transformation process. And so it has to play out. And so when you transform your mind, your spirit, God changes you on the inside, you start to embody that. And when you embody it, and you're walking around in the spirit walk, and you're around these people who have no truth, no Bible, no, not born again, they're in pettiness, they're in the flesh, they're in the pride of life, you can't even talk to these people. Because you're embodying truth, they're embodying lies and delusions. And what happened in Genesis 3? Eve, which is really just the flesh side of Adam, Eve and Adam are really one, they're the same. But Eve represents the flesh side of Adam. We're not attacking Eve, we're actually attacking Adam. She represents the flesh side of Adam. So your flesh mind individually, as an individual, wants to believe the lies, wants to believe the delusions, wants to believe the fake reality. You want to believe the fakeness in your flesh. But your spirit mind saying, no, that's a lie. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't eat that. Don't drink that. Don't hang out with them. Don't do that. And those flesh creatures are mocking you, saying, come on, go with us. No, that's not for me. Because they want the delusion. They want the lie. They want the fake reality. And the Jezebel spirit is not really about sex. It's about spiritual sex, to pull you into the devil's fake reality bubble. So Hollywood would represent the devil's system. And so if you watch Hollywood long enough, the music is to pull you in delusions. If your worldview comes from music, you're in delusion. If your worldview comes from Hollywood, you're in delusion. If you can't rightly divide the word of truth in some shape or form, we all need teachers. When you're leaving the darkness of the world and you're moving to the light, it's a process. It's a progressive revelation. You didn't really go anywhere. I was born in this city, and I'm still in this city. Even though I left and came back a few times, I'm still here. I'm still in the same parking lot I was when I was 12 years old right now. I know I probably came to this grocery store when I was a kid. I'm in the same parking lot, but I didn't have the truth that I have now. And if I hung out with the same people I used to hang out with that didn't grow anywhere, and I didn't cut people off, I'd still be thinking like them. But the Holy Spirit will pull you out of that association because it's not you anymore. You start to embody reality, truth, righteousness, faith, love, forgiveness. God pulls you out. You might have been around people who were religious but lost, outward show, outward image. God is going to pull you and pluck you out of the fake reality. For real. And you don't even know what's going on until you look back. You don't know what's going on while you're in it, but as you look back, you say, oh, God removed me from those people. God removed me from that situation. You say, oh, praise God. He plucked me out of death and destruction. And trust me, as you grow spiritually, the devil also sends higher level agents to try to pull you in. And one of the tricks going on right now in this online junk, this online insanity, is some of these new age teachers, and a lot of them are not even new age. They're esoteric teachers that they are able to see deep. They can see past time. They can see past. They know it's all the now. They know it's a simulation. But because they don't have the Holy Spirit, there's a parallel path of destruction. They end up thinking they're Jesus or they're God or they are the I Am, and they're slowly trying to indoctrinate you into the I Am. Let's say you get to a point in your life where you can think it and it appears. It happens to me every day. Does that mean I'm God? No. There's a farmer out there that knows how to plant watermelon seeds and get a good harvest. He knows how to plant the seeds and water it and all that, and the watermelon pops back. Is he God? No. He just learned to farm in the natural. So there's some of us who are in the spirit mind, and we love this kind of stuff, who are saved. And just like you can plant and be a farmer in the natural, you can also be a farmer in the spiritual. Does that mean you're God? No. You're not God. You just know how to plant the right seeds, and you know how to set the right patterns. The patterns that you set repeat. It's a copy machine. You know it's a copy machine because he says, be fruitful and multiply to Adam and Eve. Multiply means multiple plies, multiple copies. And if you want to get rich, take some kind of widget and just sell it, put it together, build it, sell it, sell a million of them and you're a million. Sell a million of them for a dollar and you're a millionaire. It's all a copy machine. What you think about reflects back. What you do reflects back. Reap what you sow. What you embody reflects back. Let me say that again. And it's Christ doing it. Don't get me wrong. Don't think I'm not saying this. I'm saying that it's Christ in you. Don't think I'm not saying that. So what you embody, the mind of Christ, you reflect. Because Jesus, the image of the Godhead bodily. So if you gaze upon Jesus and you embody the mind of Christ, you gaze upon His Word, you rightly divide His Word, everything that you gaze upon, you put it through the filter of the Scripture, the script, your script, and you embody that, what's going to happen? Apostle Paul, Moses, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the people in the book of Acts, they embodied it and they had some gifts. They could see. They could see past the natural. Whether they physically see it or mentally, I mean, spiritually, if you're saved, you should say, if I say, a washing machine is a type and shadow of God washing His clergy, His cloth. The word cloth means clergy. So when you look at a washing machine, it's a type and shadow in the natural to point to the fact that God is washing His clergy or His cloth. The clergy is the cloth. Now, if you're saved, you should be able to hear me. Let me say it one more time. When you look at a washing machine, it goes around its cycle. And even detergent Tide, what happens when you step in the ocean? The tide cleanses your, let's say you cut your leg, your foot, and you step in the ocean. The tides, the salt and the tide cleanse your wound, you heal faster. So the Tide detergent, you put that in the washing machine, the cycles go around, the cycles of time. God uses the cycles of your life to cleanse you, to cleanse the born-again saints, which are the clergy, the cloth, the saints, the priest class. The born-again saints are the priest class. So these deeper things, if you avoid the music and the TV and the distractions and you get in the Word and you focus on your You do your job, pay your bills, try to get out of debt, and you focus on the Word. You start to be cleansed away from the fake reality, away from the Genesis 3 fake reality bubble into the truth. And God is always with you. God is omnipresent. In Him we live and breathe and have our being. You know it's a simulation, and God is changing you on the inner man so you can embody it in the outward. And then when you go in this grocery store, you don't even have to talk to people. They know you're different just the way you walk. And you don't go in here with a bunch of pride, you know. But I notice with a lot of people, when you're like very kind, they take it as a weakness. Those are the ones you run away from, and you put a boundary up. If you're kind and they take it as weakness, they are the ultimate psychopath. Let me say it again. If you're kind and somebody, you can see it in their eyes, their body language. If you're kind and they start to say, oh, he's weak, he's kind, he's a fool, I'm gonna take advantage of him. If you see that kind of person, that's a psychopath. And you better run. And I mean run fast. Set the boundaries and run.